Wow. I just realized how gray my hair's starting to
look.
That's
what I always notice when I watch the videos.
Yeah.
I tell you when I notice it is when I get a haircut and falls on the little cape that they have.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? That is so, it's all gray, but that's not what I see in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I don't.
Yeah, full confession, I'm keeping it shorter because of all the gray light that's coming in.
I've got some coming in for sure.
The worst is when I'm actually up preaching live stream and I'm reading scripture. I've got this peninsula that's about to separate and become an island, and I don't ever think about it or see it until the live stream.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I'm going to start reading scripture like this.
Yeah, well, think about me. On the back of my head, all back here, I get pictures and video. I'm like, huh, I never see that back there. Not looking good.
Yeah.
Glad I'm wearing hats a lot these days. All right, well, we're back for part two. We were talking on the previous podcast just about why we're doing GTA, Grow, Train, and Advance on Wednesday nights, and we were hitting a bunch of different stuff. We got spent a lot of time on, oddly enough, the value of pastors in our lives, which sounds a little self-serving, but I think if you listen to it, you understand what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
And we all have that in our life in one way or another, and it's critical. It's God's system. But going back to, you know, why we're doing Grow, Train, and Advance and why we thought it was just so critical, it really was a couple different things. The first one we talked about was just because we were looking and seeing that, you know, Christians weren't winning. And I think Christians should be winning on every side. I think we should be winning in our marriage, family, raising kids, you know, our Bible knowledge, our prayer life. We should be winning on every side, and that should be the norm. Doesn't mean you don't have setbacks or problems or issues, but by and large, we should be overcoming sin, problems, issues. We should be winning, because if we do it Jesus' way, that's going to be the result the majority of the time. And one of the things that I'm seeing a problem with right now is the spirit of this world is just so thick, and it's like lulling people to sleep, and it's hard to get them to raise their head out enough and pull back enough to just see exactly how entrenched we are into the spirit of this world. And I think this is a strategy of the enemy. You see it in the Old Testament. I'm reminded of particularly like the book of Daniel, where the Babylonians, the way that they did this, you know, they would bring in the children of Israel from their nation and they exiled them to Babylon. And it says that the king selected, you know, the best of the best of the youth, and he brought them in. And it says that he trained them and educated them in the literature and in the culture of the Chaldeans for 3 years. And so for 3 years, he inundated them with the culture of Babylon. And the hope was, not only are you indoctrinating them in the culture of Babylon, you're trying to also get rid of the culture of Israel. You're trying to get rid of the Bible, get rid of God, all of their religious practices, all of the ways that they think, things that they think are right, things they think are wrong, the way they eat, literally. This is the thing, eat, drink, all of it was changed. No, that was your, now you're going to do it the way of Babylon. And what we know is that Satan is behind every kingdom like that. So this is not Babylon's strategy, this is Satan's strategy. Mm-hmm. And we see the same thing happening today in America. Christians that should be rejecting the spirit of the world, adopting the spirit of this world. And so we think the way that we entertain ourselves, the way that we have views on, you know, sexuality, on gender, on relationships, you know, on movies, on everything, we accept it as the spirit of this world, and we're being indoctrinated into that. And what I think is going to happen with Grow, Train, and Advance is that we're going to begin to help people break out of this. And that's one of the challenges we have as pastors, is how do we shake people up enough to get them to see, man, I've got to change some of these things in my life that I'm doing that, you know, I'm getting these things from the spirit of this world. They're not coming from the Bible or from my relationship with God.
Yeah. You know, I'm hoping to be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like I want to be uncomfortable with things that are being said. I want to be challenged to the point that I'm uncomfortable. And I think we work really hard as a culture to feel comfortable, to comfort ourselves. We'll even take things that go against the word of God and figure out a way to make it a little more comfortable, mm-hmm. a little more palatable. Well, I don't do that. I do this. Mm-hmm. Well, they're the same thing. It's a violation of God's word. And I hope for me, for my wife, and even for the teenagers, you know, this is part of the strategy that we have at One Life is for Grow, Train, Advance. We are telling our juniors and seniors, we want you to be a part of Grow, Train, Advance mm-hmm. because we believe in what God can do through it. I want to feel a little uncomfortable.
Well, like, for example, everything in our life that you just see everybody doing, the spirit, you see the world just adopting hook, line, and sinker, and then you find yourself participating in that. Mm-hmm. What is the problem with pulling back and just really examining that thing and asking, is this right? Does it line up with the Word of God and my Christian values? Or am I letting something from the spirit of this world in? A great mm-hmm. example is social media.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying for or against social media. I'm just saying, what is the problem? What are you afraid of to really pull back and examine what is this feeding?
Mm-hmm.
What purpose is this serving in my life? What itch is this scratching? And is that right? And is it godly? And is it serving the kingdom? And does it line up with the scripture? You said you wanted to be made uncomfortable. So I guess that would be something like me challenging, like, your loyalty to the New York Yankees, you know, for example. You're wearing your New York Yankees sweatshirt. Yeah. You know, no, I'm just kidding. But it's got to be, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with pulling back and questioning. And you may find at the end of your journey, no, this isn't a problem. I think that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I go through that process a lot with things that I add in my life or things that sometimes I just, as I'm doing them, I just, I don't feel great about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go through this journey, and sometimes what I will find is, well, it's not a problem that I'm doing it. It's just that the amount that I'm doing it or the amount of time or the amount of attention that I'm giving to it, and so that's what needs to be adjusted. Doesn't need to be removed completely, but it needs to have a much smaller part of my life than it does right now.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is the process of discipleship, is constantly, remember we talked a couple weeks ago where, actually, no, that was on a Sunday, Discover Jesus, where we were talking about how simple Jesus made the gospel when he just said, follow me.
Yeah.
That was it. But that literally is daily examining, in my social media use, am I following him? In my TV and entertainment, am I following him? You know, in my love walk, am I following him? And so you're examining all of that constantly, and that's part of the Christian walk. As we were talking about last week, one of the things that can help us in that examination process are pastors and leaders in our life, and giving them, in case we're not seeing something, can they come in and say, hey, too much here, not enough here, you know, and make those adjustments.
Yeah, and part of growing is being uncomfortable, is a little bit of pain. You know, I think about, you know, we've talked about my wife and I, we've started running
right
a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we worked our way all the way up to, we ran a half marathon.
Right.
But let me just tell you, 8 months ago when we decided we wanted to grow to that point, that first mile was miserable. I ran out, it was hot outside, I was already tired. I hadn't ran a mile, full confession, I don't know when the last time I ran a mile was. Mm-hmm. It took me 16 minutes to run that mile. I was miserable. I told my wife, I'm done. This is stupid. You can do it yourself. And of course I didn't. Mm-hmm. But my point is that I didn't, even though I felt that tension, that pain, that struggle, I didn't quit. And I slowly, incrementally grew.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little bit better until I hit my goal.
Right.
And that's what I'm hoping from Grow, Train, Advance for myself, for anyone that decides I'm going to participate. I'd love to see that incremental growth, and you just keep growing and keep growing.
Yeah, like something that, like an alert, like a bell that sounds when you are just plateauing. I want that to be created in our church and in our people, that we know there's a problem if ever we're not growing and we're stagnating. Like, and it's just this thing in us to go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I feel like I've really plateaued here, and I've just gotten really comfortable with not growing and not changing and not advancing. Mm-hmm. That's the name of the meeting is Grow, Train, Advance, because we wanted to change the mentality of people when they come to church. I'm not here to just learn. Mm-hmm. Not here to just get smarter, gain knowledge. Not even here just to worship. I'm here to grow, train, and advance. And as Christians, we should be doing that every year. And so there should be this awareness when we're not growing, whoa, there's an issue. There's a problem. The second reason that I knew we had to do grow, train, advance is because I could tell that many Christians are not prepared for what's coming. I think so many Christians are like zombified because they are so engulfed in social media, screen time, TV, entertainment, you know, just pleasing themselves, that when you live for pleasure, you turn yourself into like a zombie, like that you live to please the flesh. You're very, very fleshy, very, very carnal. And so then by default of doing that, you're not very spiritual and you're not in tune spiritually. It's just a dynamic that we see in Scripture. The more you serve the flesh, the more you live to please the flesh, the more carnal you become and the less spiritual you become. It's why we have to fast. It's why we have to deny our flesh. It's why Jesus said that anyone who comes after me must deny himself and take up his own cross. So you have to deny the flesh and invest in the Spirit. Well, our world right now is completely designed to serve the flesh. Our whole republic is set up, capitalism in general, is set up to serve you.
Yeah.
Communism is different than that. Communism is set up to serve the government or the dictator. But the republic, the capitalism, is designed to function and work off of you wanting something to serve self. You go out and buy it, and so I produce it, and you buy more, and I produce more, and that's the whole system. And if you look around, if you look at, you know, Walmart, if you look at all the businesses around, they're all here to serve you. Mm-hmm. And that's even the slogan that many of them will have, right, is customer's always right, and you're the king, and you're everything. And so you got the money, we got the goods, let's make an exchange, and just about everything you're getting, it's to serve you and make you better. You got a recliner, we got a better one, softer one, more leather over here. This one has vibrators and buttons and all of this. And you just go out and say, better car, more car, you know, on higher and higher, more and more. And it's all about serving self, social media, all about serving and idolizing self, whether people realize it or not. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's a way to elevate your life and yourself. And I'm not going to come on social media right now because I think that needs a fuller and broader explanation than to just make a little passing comment. But everything in this life, Netflix, the streaming, the way things have changed, like from we used to have to go when I was a kid to the video store. You know, you go to Blockbuster. We lived out in the country.
It was good old days.
It was a chore to go get a video.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was a family event. Everyone had to get dressed. You had to get in the car. You had to drive down to the movie store. You had to pay. You had to take time to pick it out, come back. It was like a planned event. It was not a small thing. Now, click a button. When you're done with that, click another. You can let 6, 7, 8 hours pass, clicking, movie after movie after movie. It's all this culture in this current world has become experts at serving you and pleasing you. It's all anti-gospel.
Yeah.
Now, doesn't mean you can't participate in any of those things. It's just that's not how we're called to live as Christians and as people that are serving the kingdom of God. It's the opposite. We're called to deny self and live for Christ. Our aim in this life is not to find more and more and more and easier ways to please ourselves and to serve the flesh. If you're going to challenge that, you're going to have to live counter-cultural. And you're going to be a little bit weird, right? Everyone in this life is going a certain direction. If you are going to be a child of the kingdom, a servant of the kingdom, at some point you've got to pull out of that flow, and you have to, if there's a river that's going and everybody's going that way, at some point you've got to exit the river and stand on the bank and look at everybody flowing by, and you've got to go, I'm going to go that way. And everyone in the river that's floating by is going to look at you, what's that weirdo doing?
No.
You know? But that's what it is. So saying all that to say, too many Christians are not prepared for what's coming, and that's part of the reason why.
Yeah. I think we have to be able to at least stop and think, stop and evaluate, stop, like you said, pull back, and realize that the enemy's not done. The enemy's not letting off the gas. You know, it's so much easier for us to just get to a place that we're comfortable with, that we're happy with, take your foot off the gas, but the enemy doesn't stop working. And so if we find ourselves in a place where we're just coasting, then I think a mature believer needs to be able to, like you said, get on that shore, that bank, and at least evaluate, at least ask God, at least go to God. God, is this okay? Even if it was okay last month, it was okay last year. But God, because we're not always talking about, you know, these gross sins that we need to get out of our lives, but those things that they're hindering my relationship with God, they're stealing from my relationship with God, they're stealing from my family, they're stealing from things that I should be stewarding better. And we just step back and go, God, what do you think? Or getting leaders involved, right? What do you think?
Well, let's take a moment and just go on this thought experiment with me, okay? What if Netflix, for example, I'm using Netflix, but any streaming service, what if it were a drug? And how often and how much would it be appropriate for you to use that? Because there are studies that will easily show that it stimulates the same part of your brain, and that there are all the chemicals and things that are released when we stream a video, for example. Okay, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, if it were a drug. And then so I'm Satan, and the moment I start having a lucid thought about my neighbor or about my kids, and I can just put this screen in front of your face. Hey, no, just watch this. Just watch this. Yeah, but this is going. No, just watch. Just watch this. Okay, yeah. Then I put that down, and I go, I don't know if my marriage is as good. No, social media, here, just scroll through TikTok. Just look at this, Facebook, Instagram. Yeah, just look at that. And then about the time that I get ready to put that down, then it's, no, just feed yourself with it. And then, so it's just all these things to distract and serve. Yeah. Oh, you're happy. You're happy. Look, see, you're happy. Just eat this, watch this, participate in this. And it's all a way to stop you from being sober and being vigilant, as the scripture tells us to do.
Yeah.
And the scripture tells us, wake up, O sleeper, come out of your slumber, because even in that time, you had people walking around like zombies that are just, they're entertaining themselves, they're living their life full of pleasure, they're doing all of these things to distract themselves instead of waking up and seeing what's really going on around you. And so it's whatever it was when the scriptures were written, it's 100 times worse today. I've never seen anything like it. No generation has ever faced what we're facing now. And so if you wanted to, you could literally live in a fantasy world where you never had to face reality. Between video games, between streaming, between social media, between junk food at every turn, fast food, every little thing you want to serve yourself, you could just live in a fantasy world where you serve self and you never have to face reality. And many people do. They come home from work, they plop down on the couch, and their face is stuck in front of a screen until they go to bed at night, whether that's TV, whether that's their phone or something else. I'm not against those things, but you'd have to be really, really foolish and really, really have stuck your head in the sand to not see the strategy that Satan has and how it's working against people, particularly our kids, particularly our teenagers. They definitely don't have the sense to pull themselves out of that. Their parents are the only ones that are going to do it. But most of their parents, they're so stuck in it that they don't want to say something to their kids because then they're going to have to put the screen down.
Right.
So it's a big problem that we're facing right now.
Yeah, and, you know, if how many times have you heard something along the lines of, you know, Satan's out to get me, Satan's out to destroy my life? Well, we know he does come to steal, kill, and destroy. I think we use that term as if Satan's strategy is to get you to reach rock bottom. And I think a little differently, that if I were Satan, my strategy wouldn't be to get you to reach rock bottom, because we see a lot of people that reach rock bottom. Now they realize their need for a savior.
Correct.
They actually
change at that point.
They actually change. So what if the strategy is more of, let me just get you okay. Mm-hmm. You are okay. You have an okay family, an okay marriage, okay relationship with God. Now let's do what you're saying. Now let me just lull you to sleep with all the self-feeding, the self-help, the self, and you're okay.
Right.
Because if I can get you to believe that you're okay, maybe you don't need anything better. Maybe you don't need to grow. Exactly. You're okay.
Exactly. And I think we've even seen that in reality with governments and things like that that have done that to pacify the people, you know, and just enough of welfare and things like that, just enough to keep you happy and where you're not, because if you descend into an all-out rebellion, then we have an issue. So we want to just keep you enough, and through history that's happened. So I call it zombified. I call it being a zombie because that's how I think about it. I just see people walking around, you know, with their, and it's the weirdest thing. I mean, if you could have been like a time traveler from 100 years ago, and just to see people walking around like this.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. I mean, you go out in public. Hey, forget going out in public and at a restaurant. Drive down the road. Look in the car next to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I challenge you to look in the car next to you driving down the road. I mean, I feel like at least 50% of the time I look in the car next to me, the person driving is on their phone.
Right.
Not at a stoplight. Just driving down the road.
Right.
And forget a stoplight. If you're at a stoplight, look in the car, it's like 95% of the time they're going to be on their phone like this. That's the level we're at. Now, people may look at that and go, well, what's the problem with that? Well, what's the big deal about that? Well, from a very simplistic mindset, nothing. But when you realize that there are spiritual forces at work and that Satan has strategies to try and destroy our lives, it makes a lot more sense. And we could go down that track, but what I'm really getting to is when I look out and I go, many Christians are not prepared for what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big part of it.
Yeah,
this is a huge part of why they're not prepared. Instead of feeling that urgency, to work, pray, change, develop, train, and grow, we're pacifying ourselves with we're really serving self. So the idea of getting into work mode, getting into training mode is like, man, I'm tired from all this. I'm just pacifying myself with all of these things. It's difficult to break a person out of that mode and go, you got to stop living like this.
Yeah.
This isn't why you were put here on this planet, to just serve self.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing, is a lot of it is not necessarily even sin. You can do all of those things without sinning. Like, you can watch movies that aren't sin. You can be on social media and not sin. You can eat food and not sin. You can play video games and not sin. Yeah, but you can do all of it so much that it becomes sinful because you're living to serve self.
Mm-hmm.
And your God and your life at this point is self. So this is all about challenging people to come out of that. I want to read in Matthew 24 again, because Jesus saw this day coming, and he describes a time when there's going to be massive deception. He describes a time when many are going to fall away. What I always think about when I read that is there's going to be a climate on earth at that time that's conducive for that to happen.
Yeah.
And what I just described is that climate. It's a climate where people are not awake. They're interested in serving self. I'd rather ignore the obvious signs that are going on and just plug out. And this is what he said. Verse 10, Matthew 24:10, kind of where we left off on the last podcast. He says, and then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And so just looking at the climate that I just described and looking at the climate of the church, do you think our current American culture and our current American church culture is ready for what he just read, for what I just read?
No, we're not. And I always start with myself of questioning, am I ready? And do I want to grow? But no, I can speak directly for the teenagers that I lead. You know, I've been in youth ministry for 2 decades at this point. And so I've watched this progression and this change and this, you know, we've always struggled with the culture. We've always struggled with, you know, what we're talking about with this feeding of self. Mm-hmm. But it has never been easier Mm-mm. to feed self. It's never, so, you know, when I started in youth ministry, this was, what, 2007, maybe, something like that. There, I think, is that the year the iPhone came out, or was that 2009?
Yeah, 2008, or, somewhere in there, 2008, I think, is official year, yeah.
Yeah, so you're talking about teenagers and adults that didn't have all this instant access. And, you know, there's Netflix, probably, if it was even out, you had to order the DVD.
Oh,
and
yeah, through the mail.
The whole. And so part of it is, just imagine the strategy of Satan has just become easier. If the strategy is to get you to feed yourself and get you to be okay, it's just made easier and easier, and I'm watching that over and over. And that's why, you know, we combat that as a church in our student ministry. You might look at us like we are odd. We are strange. We are different because we tell teenagers, when you come into the student center, put your phone away.
Right.
We're not doing that. We're not going to feed into that mentality that you have to have a cell phone all the time.
Right. It's so good. And I think we're going to be shocked at how it's going to increase. So if you go back to the 50s, around that time, whatever it was, you know, okay, every home has a radio. Mm-hmm. Then it goes to every home has a TV. Mm-hmm. And even at that time, people would have been looking around having the concerns we're having now.
Yeah.
Just off of that, from like the radio, like mm-hmm. families are sitting around listening to the radio. Mm-hmm. They used to sit at the dinner table and talk. They used to have conversation. They used to go visit their neighbors. They used to go and have little community dances, and people would dance. Now they're all sitting around the radio, and they're just listening.
Yeah.
And now then television. Oh, my Lord, how that changed. If all we had in the home was a TV now, you'd feel like you were back in the 1900s. Just mm-hmm. you'd feel like you had gone so far backwards. We've advanced so far past that if you're not careful, you can spend every waking second ignoring problems in your life, ignoring mm-hmm. your family, ignoring your marriage, ignoring your kids, and just basically drowning out yeah. every problem that you need to be dealing with, and just self-medicating, mm-hmm. self-entertaining, and you're just like a zombie.
Yeah.
That's the exact perfect climate for what Jesus is describing to happen in.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think it's only going to get worse. With AI, they're talking about, I mean, I heard them talk about, I was listening to a forum where they were discussing some things about it, and they said, you know, eventually, because they've gotten to the point now where AI can generate, just like it can generate pictures, mm-hmm. it can generate short videos that are, you know, real.
Yeah.
It's photo real, video real. You know, if you said, for example, show me a guy walking through a wheat field, you know, with a sunrise or sunset, whatever, mm-hmm. that it can generate a real person walking through a wheat field, sunrise, you know, in 15-second clip or whatever. Mm-hmm. And these, just like the pictures, these are original. They're not. It's not taking stock stuff and putting this. These are original. So one of the guys was talking about that's all into it, you know, and helping develop it. He said, yeah, the day is coming where Hollywood making movies for us, those days are going to be gone. There are going to be websites where you go and you make your own movie. You AI custom makes. Every time you want to watch a movie, AI custom makes whatever movie is in your head that you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, very scary. Don't want to even imagine where that's going to go. But secondly, again, look at how, as I was saying before, everything in this life is more and more about how can we serve you to the maximum extent, like just crazier and crazier ways to serve flesh and bring the flesh pleasure. Again, that's anti-gospel. And what it does is it puts the world in this climate where instead of being concerned about what Jesus is concerned about real issues that need to be solved, building our communities, doing real things that need to be done, we're all about serving self. Well, that's the exact environment that the Antichrist is going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus describes it. He says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. I want to read this whole thing because I think it's so important. Then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So what this means to me is that there are going to be false Christs that come on this earth, and they're going to be literal miracles that they perform. They're going to do things that human beings can't do. And if you don't know this scripture, and you don't know the Word of God, and the Word of God is not your anchor, you're going to see things like that, and it's going to lead you astray. And he said, this is how deceptive it's going to be. If possible, even the elect. Now, in Scripture, the elect are those that were predestined by God and by the foreknowledge of God and known that these people were going to be saved. He says even those are in danger of being led astray. So that's very significant. And he said, see, I have told you beforehand, if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he is in their inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. We're not going to dive too much into that except just to say, again, we are doing Grow Train in Advance because I know that a lot of Christians are not ready for this day that's being described, and I think that we are rapidly approaching that day.
Yeah. Now, when you read that, I have to question. I have to question myself constantly. Am I ready for this? Am I ready? Is my family ready? And, you know, here's a safeguard that I use in my life, and this is more of a natural thought. This isn't anything necessarily spiritual, but when I see everyone going a certain way, everyone's participating in something, one of the things I like to question is, how long has this been happening in culture? Use the TV examples or the radio. How long has this been around? What, 50 years, 60 years, in thousands of years? And you know, you only go back a few decades, and we don't have time. You didn't have time 200 years ago to sit around on a phone. Your butt better be outside working the fields,
chopping firewood,
getting water.
Yep.
Now we turn on our water. Things have become so easy and so convenient. But this is my safeguard. As I look at for this, the length of humanity, this hasn't even been an option. We have been existing in such a short period of time where humans have existed in this way, and that concerns me.
And on that point, I want you to come back to that and finish that thought. Because on that point, so every modern invention that has made our lives easier and better created more time for us. And this is what the sin nature does. We've used that time to serve self.
Yeah.
That's how we've spent it. It's not like, oh, we finally have time now to spend time with our family, or now we finally have time to serve the church or the kingdom. No. What have we done with that time? We've squandered it. Mm-hmm. And we've used it to serve self. And so all that extra space that we'd have never had time for, like you said, we were trying to survive.
Yeah.
Everybody got, with all these inventions, we got more time, and it's just been used to serve self. And that's the sin, that's the condition, that's the sin condition, you know? So.
Well, you know, along those lines, I've often, I've questions and I've thought how blessed we are as a culture. All the, like we, I would say it this way, we potentially live like kings compared to 100 years ago, 200 years ago.
For sure.
I can go to my refrigerator and I've got water imported from France. You know? I've got these avocados from Mexico.
Right.
Yep.
Spices.
Spices from around the world.
Honey.
Yes. And I just look at the luxuries that we live in. And I'm saying for me, when I see those things, I stop and question, wait a minute. No one else has lived this way. Mm-hmm. For hundreds, for thousands of years, is there something spiritual going on? Or should I just stay in the boat and just keep coasting?
Well, and this is why, this is going to be a hard one. This is hard.
Right, I'm ready. Give it to me.
But this is why Jesus said that it is harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Because of everything we're describing right now. All of it leads to maximum opportunity for you to sin and serve self and not live for the kingdom. And that person cannot be saved. That person that's living, essentially it's self that's God in your life.
Yeah.
And so, look, we are all in danger of this.
Yeah.
You and I, sitting here, me and you, we are in danger of this because we've been raised in this culture, and it's so difficult to pull back from it and go, just because it's available doesn't mean I should avail myself of it.
Right.
And so I have to, whereas previous generations and all of that, like you said, they had these natural restrictions imposed on them just by the natural state of things. We have to intentionally restrict ourselves. We have to say no to certain amounts of it. We have to set restrictions on what our life is going to look like and what our children are going to do, because it's all at our disposal. No other, like you said, no other generation, I mean, I'm going to say within the last 100 years, no one has had that problem.
Right.
And we are the first that's had this problem of there's so much available, and if you just go with the flow, you're going to set yourself up as a king where everything is here to serve me and my life and all of this. And you can't live for the kingdom like that. You have to either serve God. I mean, I think Jesus said too, he said, you cannot serve God and money.
Yeah.
You know, those two things. You cannot serve God and self. We could say it like that.
Well, and don't think, well, I'm not rich. I don't fall prey to that.
No.
You know, when I talk to the teenagers, I said, it's not just talking about money. We first of all, y'all don't have any, your parents do, but what are you rich with? I think that's the question we have to ask ourselves. What are you rich with? Are you rich with material possessions? Are you rich with feeding yourself? Are you, you know, I think a challenge I give them is, are you rich with popularity? What are you rich with that would prevent you from pursuing the kingdom of God?
Yeah, but there's a very, 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 very tiny fraction of Americans that would not meet the rich standard that was being laid out in the Bible. So when Jesus said it's harder to go through the eye of a needle for a camel than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven, we need to pay attention, because pretty much every one of us fall into that category by the standard he was talking about when they're living in little stone houses, no electricity, no air conditioner, no running water. Only food they have is what they grow and can find in the market that day. You said it earlier, we are living like kings. And so it takes a lot of wisdom and discernment and being led by the Spirit to go, just because I can have that doesn't mean I should.
Right.
And I've got to impose restrictions on myself so that I'm living first and foremost for the kingdom of God. And it's something I've got to constantly evaluate. I'm talking about me personally. I have to constantly evaluate, you know, yeah, I have access to this, but does God want me to have that in my life? You know, so.
Yeah, I read a statistic. I don't remember the number, but it said something like with the advances in technology, we live as though we have about 150 servants living in our house with all the things that we can get done in a day.
Yeah, they're robots. We don't think of it like that because they don't have arms and legs, mm-hmm. but your dishwasher is a robot. Your refrigerator is a robot. Your oven is a robot.
Right.
A servant, robotic slave in your house doing things for you. Your washing machine, mm-hmm. your dryer, all of these things. So, again, it takes a certain way of thinking to pull back and see that.
Yeah.
When you've just been raised in it, it's normal. You go, oh, God, that's ridiculous. No, pull back a minute. Mm-hmm. Pull back and really evaluate and open your eyes and look at things, and you will see that we need to evaluate some things, and the Holy Spirit will help us do that. This is the challenge that we're facing with Grow, Train, and Advance, is waking people up to realize some of the things that we're talking about. And so I'm hoping to create a church filled with elite disciples that understand mm-hmm. the things that we're talking about, and they go, oh my gosh, I don't want to just be an average American Christian that is living to serve self, you know, mm-hmm. but we've kind of taken the red pill? I don't remember from the Matrix, but whatever it is. And our eyes are open to go, man, I'm going to live for the kingdom.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I always think of those words you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, versus the, well, you did okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to just do okay. Not if there's great. Not if I can hear those words, well done. I did what God required. I did what God asked. I didn't just do an okay job. I didn't just make it through. I didn't just survive it. There was that thriving. There was that empowerment from God, and I pursued. I grew.
Yeah. So this was another big part of it, and that's what we're talking about is, you know, looking at the church and going, are the people that God's called us to pastor and lead, are they ready? Mm-hmm. Are they trained? Are they ready for this end time situation that Jesus describes? And I think it's so easy to read that passage that we just read in Matthew 24. It's so easy to read it and just assume, well, I'll be one of the ones that don't fall away. But I think that's so foolish to do that when you have Jesus looking at you saying, this is going to be challenging. I think of it like if there's a military veteran that's been fighting over in Afghanistan for the last 20 years, and he comes back to America, and he's looking at some of these recruits that are just coming out of boot camp or whatever, and they're all bold and like, we got this. And he looks at him and he goes, you're not ready.
Yeah.
And they go, no, I've been through the training. I've read the manuals. Been on the firing range, fired a few bullets. You know, I feel good. I've been running. You know, got my physical training up. And the guy who's been there for 20 years is like, I'm telling you, you're not ready.
No.
You know, why? Because I know something you don't know. I've walked through something you don't know. And that's how I feel when I read this passage. I feel like Jesus is that one who has full knowledge of what that day is going to look like. And he's looking at us and he's saying, you're not ready. Mm-hmm. And I need you to train for this moment. I need you to get ready for this moment. I mean, if you think about, if you were about to be dropped, you're a backpacker. You know, you like to do the hard trails and in the wilderness, ultralight, stuff like that. If I told you in 60 days, I'm going to drop you in the Siberian wilderness in the middle of winter, and you have to survive for 6 months, how would you train for that? How would you prepare for that? Would you just assume that the current knowledge you have, even though you're experienced, even though you have a lot of experience and you got a lot of good gear, what would be your mentality? I think it'll be kind of a hope it works out mentality, or are you going to spend every second like training and getting ready and reading and talking to people that have been there and done that? What are you going to do to prepare for that?
Yeah.
But I don't think that's how we're approaching this.
No, I mean, I am going to devote my life for the next, how long do I get, 6 months?
You've got 30, let's say you've got 60 days to prepare. And you have to live there for 6 months.
Yeah, I'm going to devote my life to what I'm about to do. And I tell you what, I'm going to find somebody else that knows more than me and ask for their help.
Well, let me ask you this. What if I also told you that Ainsley, Nora, and Zoe were going to be dropped off with you? It wasn't just going to be you.
Oh, it's all bets off. There is nothing that would stop me from being completely prepared.
Because it's one thing if it's just us.
Right.
But that's not going to be the situation. Mm-hmm. Our children are going to walk through this.
Yeah.
They're going to need leaders that are ready, that have prepared, that know, that can guide them. I mean, when I think about my children having to walk through this. So you're right. This is how I've devoted my life. It's caused us to make significant changes in our life. I mean, we started homeschooling our children when they were in the fifth grade. And there's so many reasons. We'd have to do a whole podcast to explain why we did that and why I think it's important. But the short version is there are things that I need to get into my children that could not be gotten in them any other way except they spend that kind of time around me and with me. And that if they're at public school every day, that's just our decision. I'm not telling everybody to do this or anything like that. But I'm saying for me, there were things I wanted to get in my children that I needed them in close proximity to be able to do that. Certain ways that I think, certain character issues. A lot of the stuff we're talking about here today, I wanted to be able to get in them. And I just don't have – and if you think about the average child, yeah, they're at school all day. Let's say they get home by four or five, maybe grab something to eat. Everybody's staring at screens, go to bed at 10. When in the world are you discipling your children? And not just from a spiritual standpoint. You know, what we're called to do with our children is not just get spirituality into them. That's part of it. Mm-hmm. They have to be prepared for marriage. They have to be prepared to manage finances. They have to be prepared for every aspect of life.
Mm-hmm.
Why are kids rolling out of home and into life completely unprepared? Because they're who's trained them?
Right.
Who's taken the time to do those things? So much less preparing for what Jesus is talking about here.
Right.
Much less preparing for this type of time that is gonna come on the earth. So all of that is going to be covered in Grow, Train, Advance. I mean, we have to go through it all. We have to go through spirituality. We have to go through parenting. We have to go through every part of what does it look like to be a human being on this planet operating the way that God intended you to operate at a very high level and functional way to be an elite human being that is serving God and serving the kingdom. We're going to be in Grow, Train, Advance for a while. We got a lot to cover.
Oh, I'm on board. So. I'll stay the whole time. You know, when you bring the kids into the mix, everything changes. I can grit. I can suffer using the backpacking example. I can grind it out. But when you add the kids, it changes everything. When I had kids, and now I have three of them. That is the most important thing to me in this world is their eternity and knowing what Scripture says of what we may walk through this time. I want them to be prepared, and it is the only thing that matters. And I'm not going to allow a material possession to get in the way of that. I'm not going to allow a personal dream or vision or the American dream to get in the way of my kids' eternity.
Mm-hmm.
It is the number one most important thing to me, and decisions that I make flow out of that. But I don't think that's your average mentality because everything's okay. So I think salvation has become an okay, everything's okay kind of topic.
Yeah.
Let's get them to say the prayer. Let's get them baptized. Everything's okay. Now we can go back to status quo. And I just don't look at it that way, not with my own kids.
Well, let's just go there. I think this is good. This is so good, what you're saying. How on earth, you know, do you wake up people to see this truth? And I think a lot of it comes from not having an eternal perspective. You know, you get caught up in this life, and you forget that the real life is coming.
Right
after this, but you and I both know, because you've been youth pastoring, like you said, for a couple decades. Well, you and I both know, for example, how parents look at the education of their children. I know a lot of parents that the most important thing is that their children are educated in a quality way. Mm-hmm. They receive a quality education. They go to college. They get a degree. They go to the best schools. They help them train for the ACT. They do all of this stuff so they can get a good education. And it feels like sometimes that even for Christian people, we think that's the answer. Like, that's the thing that matters most, is that they get a really good education. Not saying that's a bad thing. I want my kids to be educated. That's fine. But I read a quote recently that said, don't be surprised when we send our kids to Caesar to be educated if they come back looking like Romans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're seeing a lot of, is even the education has to be questioned, because on the surface, it seems amazing. Educate kids, teach them math, teach them reading, teach them. But what if Satan is involved?
Mm-hmm.
What if there really is a God of this world that's operating behind every human institution, who's always looking for how to corrupt any human institution to accomplish his will and his plan? Well, then the education system just comes a factory for indoctrination and putting out kids that are filled with the spirit of this world.
Right.
You know, the problem that I'm having, and this is what I wanted to say, is I see a lot of parents that are focused on all the wrong things. And yes, they want their kids to be educated well. They want their kids to be amazing in athletics. And so they'll travel, my Lord, all over the country every night of the week, practicing and games, and they'll do it for athletics, for education, for all of that, clubs, you know, social stuff, all of that. But here's the problem is, when I see a lot of these kids turning into adults and all of a sudden their marriages are failing,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden they're getting divorced, all of a sudden they have porn addictions and major character flaws and character problems, and really half-hearted towards God, half-hearted worship, half-hearted discipleship, you know, towards God and towards His Word. A lot of these kids feel with depression, feel with anxiety, all kinds of emotional problems, needing to go to counseling, all of these issues. I mean, here's the only conclusion you can come to is the way we are doing this is not working.
Right.
So what you've relied on to produce a quality human being, education, athletics, all of these things, none of them are bad, and my kids play athletics. I'm assistant coach in basketball. I love sports, all of that. My kids are being educated. I have a college degree. I believe in all of that. It's not my savior.
Right.
And it's not the most important thing that they get in their life. So I don't even know if this is true, but let's just say if I had to homeschool my kids and sacrifice quality of education but increase quality of character, love for God, love for His Word, if I had to make that trade-off as a spiritual person and as a Christian, I should have the wisdom to see which one is more valuable.
Right.
Because I see a lot of people's lives who have all of that way the world says to do it to make a successful person. I see them have all of those things and their life be completely broken and destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So even that, we've got to change our mindsets on.
Yeah, we have to stop and evaluate. And I think we keep saying this because a lot of it starts with, let's just stop. Let's just pause.
Exactly.
Pause for a moment. You know, one of the things my wife and I do, because currently our kids are in public school, but we are seeking God every year. God, what do you say? God, what should we do right now for our kids? And we're getting closer and closer to a moment where we may be pulling one of our kids out. And it's a lot of what you're saying. We value our voice being the loudest voice in their life. And so, you know, I'll give you a real example of something we had to navigate. You talk about, you know, sending them to Caesar for school and coming out Romans. You know, this isn't something that's happening in California. this is happening right in our community where our kids, they are, and it comes across, everything is packaged by the enemy so politely, poetically. They're just learning about Greek mythology. Well, they're learning about false gods. They're learning about these gods that have led men and women to hell for decades. Wow. That's what we're talking about. And who made the decision in the public school system that this is valuable to learn? So my kid was asked to do a project. They had to, get this, create a god, create a Greek mythological god, give it a name, give it powers, give it. This was an assignment. So what we did in my home, we took that opportunity to explain exactly what it was. We did the project, and we created a god that doesn't exist. And we combated the whole, she had to give a presentation, and she was excited about it. An entire presentation on this god does not exist. This god has no power. You even had to create an image. You had to create, so we created nothing. Its name was nothing. It is nothing. It had no powers, couldn't do anything. Gods don't exist. Those false gods do not exist. And I used it as an opportunity for discipleship with my kid.
Yeah.
My concern is all the other kids that were doing this project, that were being trained by our school system to create a god. And we see that happening in people's lives where they create, even with the God of the Bible, they take the God of the Bible and create their own god with him.
Yeah. Well, the education and homeschooling versus not conversation, it's a long one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a long one. It's definitely one podcast, maybe more. Because you're going to have a lot of people with a lot of questions of, well, but isn't there value to leaving them in so you can have experiences like this? Yeah, absolutely. And that's a big conversation. You know, what is the age if they do need to be pulled out? What about different kids' temperaments? Different kids are wired different, built different. There's so much to discuss, and we probably will do a podcast on that. I think if I could get people to understand, though, any one thing is you have to be willing to put your life on hold. You have to be willing to disrupt anything to do what's right and do what God's asking you to do. And all too quickly, we just shove them in to the factory system and just the way the spirit of this world is doing everything. We just shove them into that system and we just let it take over, let the culture take over, all of that. And no, we have to pull back and stop and question, is this the right way of doing it? And I want to say this, if you are, which we have so many in the church right now, if you're one of those families that's just now having kids, you have the perfect opportunity, and this is the perfect time to do what I'm talking about. It's the perfect time to be having this conversation and thinking about these things. How are we going to do this? How are we going to raise our children to not just adopt the spirit of this world, but to be disciples of Jesus Christ and to question everything that has to do with the way this world does things? Yeah, everybody sends their kids to school. Is that what I should be doing? Everybody, you know, as soon as the baby's born, the baby goes to daycare and then both parents work. Should I question that? Should I ask biblically what should we need to pull back from the system and question it and not just plod along like a zombie, just doing every little thing that the world does? Like, evaluate it by the word of God, question it by the word of God, let the Holy Spirit lead you. And then the results will be far greater than anything you could have imagined.
Right, right. And I think that's probably the most important encouragement right now is this is how we operate. We look at the Word of God. We value the Word of God. The Word of God has first place. And we just stop to evaluate. We pause for, God, what are you saying? God, what are you saying right now? It looked this way last month, last year. God, what are you saying right now? And I think the closer you get to God, that becomes how your relationship with God is. You're constantly going to him and questioning the world system.
Yeah. And so coming full circle then, your life has to be structured in a way that there's room and space in your life to even have that kind of relationship mm-hmm. with God to be able to do that.
Right.
If it's work all day, plug out till 10 on devices and serve the flesh, when are you having that time to pull aside and pray, get alone with God and evaluate? So your life has to be structured mm-hmm. so that there's room for that yep. in your life, which is part of what we're challenging people to do as well. So, hey, awesome podcast. Again, I feel like we still didn't finish.
But we didn't get very far yeah. at all.
Got a lot more we could talk about, but I foresee us doing quite a few more of these. So, good podcast.
Yeah.